The Angie's List you know and trust is now Angie, and we're so much more than just a list. We still connect you with top local pros and show you ratings and reviews, but now we also let you compare upfront prices on hundreds of projects and book a service instantly. We can even handle the rest of your project from start to finish. So remember, Angie's List is now Angie, and we're here to get your job done right. Get started at Angie.com. That's A-N-G-I, or download the app today.
Fill her up.
You're listening to the Gas Digital Network.
Zach Amico's Midnight Spook Show.
Well, bon Jovi, Spook Show fans. It's your old pal, Cousin Zach, welcoming you to another edition of Zach Amico's Midnight Spook Show here on the Gas Digital Network. If you love the show, and we know you fucking do, head on over to GasDigitalNetwork.com, use that promo code Zach, Z-A-C, and get yourself a 7-day free trial to not just this show, but all the other great shows available on the network. If you like it, keep it, save $1.50 a month off the regular subscription price. If you don't like it, I don't really give a shit. Get rid of it. I don't care. And go to PodcastMerch.com. There's Zach Amico's Midnight Spook Show hats, t-shirts, hoodies, and all that fun stuff. And I love seeing you guys rock it out on live shows. That's really, really cool of you. I am joined by two wonderful gentlemen today who are new to the show. So let's give them a warm and hearty handshake. To my left, we got Dan Perlman.
Oh, thank you for having me, Zach.
Thank you for being here, brother. Yeah. We go way back.
I know. I remember you hosted the Mike at the Stand.
Before that, I think CB. We go way, way back.
Oh, wow.
I think, yeah, we've known each other a fucking long time, bub.
I know, yeah.
And, well, thank you very much for your time today. Let's have a little bit of fun bullshitting. And to my right, new friend, Jamie Wolf.
Yeah, nice to meet you. I think this might be the first time we've actually met.
Well, it's very cool of you to do the show, man. I appreciate
it. Yeah, thank you for having me. I appreciate that.
Thank you, dude. You come highly recommended, so thank you. It's going to be a fun day. Let's get plugs out of the way. Jamie, what do you want people to get eyes on?
At Jamie Wolf Comedy on every social media. I post stand-up clips every week, 2 clips a week. That's basically what I'm plugging. I have a live show in New York, and I go on the road, but just follow me on social media, really.
It's got a great live show.
Please check out Jamie's live show as well, and support him on social media. Dan?
At Dan J. Perlman on Instagram, Twitter, and stuff. And I have a show, Flatbush Misdemeanors. It's on Showtime. The second season is three or four episodes are out now. And if you don't have Showtime, just DM me. I'll just give you my password. You can just watch it. You know, and then you can watch Yellow Jackets and stuff. Yeah.
Fantastic. Please support Dan. And the fucking really cool show, Flatbush Misdemeanors, really, really cool. And if you want to check me out, if you are watching live next weekend, Catalyst Wrestling returns to Brooklyn. We're doing a show called Sabotage in Sunset Park. There's going to be beer, there's going to be tacos, there's going to be wrestling. Come hang out. And that is the 16th. On the 17th, I will be in Layton, Pennsylvania at the Troma Dance Film Festival at the Mahoning Drive-In Theater, which the last movie of the night is a movie I'm in premiering called The Secret of Cuck Island, where I am in my tighty whities and a tinfoil hat covered in fake cum the entire movie.
That's very exciting.
Wow.
So please come support truly independent cinema at the Troma Dance Film Festival.
True.
Before we go any further, how about a word from our sponsors? This is the song that doesn't end. Hey there, auto mechanics and super cool do-it-yourself guys who work on their own cars. I want to tell you about rockauto.com, the online store with every auto part at the best prices. It's your one-stop shop for everything auto parts. They've been in business for 20 years, and they make it easy to find the parts you need at the best possible prices. So you can stop talking to counter guys. You need to order your parts. Aren't really sure what you're looking for, never have quite what you need, and after all that, are still going to upcharge you. Because at rockauto.com, you can easily find everything you need. So whether you are a mechanic, somebody working on their own car, or an idiot like me who doesn't understand how automobiles work, everyone has access to the same incredible pricing. So head on over to the site, and I think you're going to be pretty, 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 pretty impressed. There's no promo code needed because their pricing is already that good. But if you do get anything, make sure to tell rockauto.com that you heard about them on Zach Amico's Midnight Spook Show. You guys know the website. you love it and you love hearing me talk about it. RockAuto.com. And it goes on and on, my friend. Hey, fans of the show over the age of 21, I just want to thank our friends at Yo Kratom. You guys know Yo Kratom. They are the marquee sponsor of Skankfest and everything we do here. They are absolutely the best. Guys, you've seen the price of everything has been going up lately. Your rent, your groceries, gasoline. But you know what isn't going to go up this year? The price of a kilo of Kratom from YoKratom.com. Nope, that sucker is sticking at $60. So stop going to bodegas, gas stations, or smoke shops and getting a little bit of Kratom at a time when you can get a full kilo of Kratom delivered to your door for just 60 smackers. They are the absolute best. Thank you guys so much for supporting the show. We love you, Yo Kratom. YoKratom.com. Shuck it off. And we're back. Guys, today's movie, I went with a classic. We've been doing a lot of killer animal movies. I decided to expand that to just a fucking fun alien movie. This is Critters. You guys, I asked online last night, and people gave me about 200 suggestions, and one of you wanted to see Critters, and I was like, that's a good fucking idea. So, if you want to watch the movie along with us, you know we do that 10 count, so you can always sync it up. We are watching this on Amazon, but the best thing to do, just go to fucking Gas Digital, use that promo code Zach, and, you know, watch her, give the boy a few shekels, or... You know we do this show for free every Friday night at midnight. Pre-stream starts at 11:30. So if you're broke as a joke, that is okay. We are always there to support you because we just love having you around. Ladies in the booth, roll that beautiful bean footage.
10, 9, 8, 7, 6, 5, 4, 3, 2, 1.
All right, so this is 1986.
Okay.
They thought this was New Line Cinema's answer to Gremlins. Mm-hmm. However, this had already been in production for quite some time prior to Gremlins. I believe it was even started about 3 years before.
So it was a bit of a Bug's Life ant situation.
Exactly.
Mm-hmm, yeah.
So yeah, people thought that this was their version of having tiny creatures in a PG-13 horror. But no, it was just a... Coinky Dink, the monsters, the critters themselves were designed by the Kyoto brothers, who also gave us Killer Clowns from Outer Space, and Ernest Scared Stupid. Very, very silly. This stars Dee Wallace, who's also the mom in E.T. There will be a number of references to that. It also stars M. Emmett Walsh, who you can see in The Righteous Gemstones, and the bounty hunter is Terrence Mann, who played Frankenfurter in the Broadway revival of the Rocky Horror Picture Show.
Hmm. Wow.
And yes, this is going to be a very, very silly movie with puppets with sharp teeth. They are designed after the Tasmanian Devil.
Do we think, when you say silly, it's always tough to know with the older movies, are they aware that it's silly at the time?
Or this, one they is think, a, this one's self-aware.
It's self-aware, okay.
Yeah, no, this, I think they were trying to make a good movie, but they were aware that
so it is... lean into some of the silliness.
Yeah, they lean into some of its weaknesses.
It's basically, it's like near impossible to make any kind of futuristic thing.
Yeah.
With kind of like, we're going to nail it. We're going to get what the future is and have it not look silly in 10 years.
Yeah, what would you say did it right? Terminator 2?
Sure, but that's just fun, you know, because that is just like fun aspects. I don't know.
I'll go Event Horizon.
I never saw it.
It's basically Shining / Hellraiser in space.
Okay, yeah,
it's really good. Sam Neill fucking nails it.
Yeah.
Is that a that's? It sounds like all horror movies.
Well, I'm trying to think. So that'd be Alien, I think, does it okay, but that's also just a haunted house movie in space. Damage report. Two dead. You know, this movie is aware that it's got a low budget, too. So they just have a lot of fun with it. One of the ways they get around not having to have one of the main alien characters is that he transforms into the people he meets.
That's cool.
So different actors will play the same role.
That's cool, yeah. Because they could just get somebody in for a day and then knock it out. Yeah.
Yeah, very low body. Once again, it's PG-13, so pretty low body count. It's more just the things are scary. And very, very cool looking. So these are the bounty hunters. They have no heads or faces. That's why they transform.
It's a very, it's a very 80s, 70s, 80s thing where it's like all aliens looked like this. They were green. Yeah. They had the bald head. And that was it.
Yeah.
You know?
He's definitely got a Star Wars vibe to the front guy.
Right. And now I feel like it's a little more...
The gray with the big head, with the big eyes.
And it, or it's like our own avatars kind of thing. It's very like, you know, our simulation.
That makes sense. Yeah, I think this is kind of before people had the concept of what would be called the gray, which is like the tall alien with the big head and the big almond eyes.
Right.
The alien autopsy alien.
They were just kind of these like little green... Like trolls you could kick the shit out of, you know? Like it wasn't. And yet everyone on Earth is like freaking out when they're coming, when they're just these like little garden gnomes.
Okay, actually, that is a good transition into another silly fact. The name of the town is Grover's Bend.
Mm.
That is actually a take on Grover's Mill, which is the location that the spaceship supposedly landed during War of the Worlds. The radio broadcast that Orson Welles did.
Made
everyone terrified that aliens were landing.
Right.
Wow.
So, yeah, that's a take on that. The amount of everything that went wrong for that War of the Worlds thing to work is hilarious.
What did people do when they were freaking out about the War of the Worlds thing?
Everyone showed up with shotguns.
Did they really?
So what had happened was... the way the broadcast wound up is people all tuned in late, I believe.
Right, so they missed that it was fictional,
Something else had ended late.
Uh-huh.
So everyone that heard it just tuned into the play, not the warning.
Right.
That, you know, this is a work of fiction.
Yeah, there's something kind of like sweet or even romantic about that. Because I feel like now, if that were to happen, people would obviously tweet about it, but I don't think... anybody would just get out there with their shotguns, you know?
And then they all had turned it off and left already by the time, because they made him again say, hey, this is a work of fiction.
Right.
But everyone missed that again.
Right.
So
they tuned in for about 20 seconds and they went, I gotta get my shotgun right now and get outside.
And then everyone that called, the line was pretty much busy. Okay, so that's Dee Wallace, the mom from Alien, or the mom from E.T. So this is the second movie where her kid tries to fake being sick by running hot water on a thermometer. In E.T., she falls for it. In this one, she does not fall for it.
Well, she has the benefit of experience.
Exactly. There's also going to be an E.T. doll hidden in the kid's room, as well as a number of other references.
Wow, that's old-fashioned. Yelling through the grate? I used to do that at my house. That's an old-fashioned thing.
We had a grate next to my TV when I was a kid, and it went into my dad's shop, but it, like... it had a flat bottom, and when I was a little kid, I was a little fat boy, and I would sneak snacks, and then if somebody was going to walk in, I would panic and throw them down the hole, and I did that for probably like 5 years, until one day it rained, and the thing broke, and my dad's entire shop just got covered in half-eaten 5 years of his fat son's hidden food addiction. You've got to keep me informed. Did you wash my
bowl shirt? Yes, dear, I'll be ready for the tournament.
There's a great, as far as War of the Worlds, there was a British TV show that also everyone thought was real, and it was called Ghost Watch. Have you heard of it?
No.
So it was broadcast Halloween night in the 90s, and there's articles about how basically this entire generation of British kids all have PTSD from it.
Really?
So it was presented as a live broadcast from a haunted house. But they got the actual BBC news people to do it. And the lady that was in the haunted house was on the kids show. So parents saw it and went, oh, you can watch this. That's the lady from your show.
Right.
And it's fucking horrifying. It was like an hour-long drama.
And they believed it.
It was so scary. And then they had a number to call in, and so many people called in, they were just getting And when you called the number, it said, "Happy Halloween, this is a prank."
Right.
But so many people called in that everyone just got a busy signal.
Oh, so they just panicked.
And then they took it out of circulation after a suicide.
Whoa.
Blaming the ghost in the movie.
Damn.
So now if you want to, they've replayed it like once or twice. It was on DVD. It's out of print now. Shudder had it briefly. But now if you want it, you have to bootleg it.
Wow.
It's really scary.
When was that? When did
92,
that?
I want
to
say.
Wow, that's late for them to believe it. Because I get War of the Worlds, so no one knew what it was.
Brits are so stupid. Yeah. They have this reputation of being highly intelligent.
No,
and some of them are. But then there's also the dumbest reality shows come out of there.
Yeah.
Like even way dumber than here even.
Yeah, Geordie Shore.
There's a quick drop off from their top echelon to it's just like, a mass of
it's
idiots.
It's like the economy here. It's like the big inequality. The yeah, there's like a Gini coefficient or whatever of intelligence. It's like massive. Yeah.
When you think American TV is exploitive, our buddies have a show called Revenge of the Sis.
Mm-hmm.
They did a review. There's a British reality show called The Specials.
Right.
And it's the real world with all people with Down syndrome.
Jesus.
And wow. They're British, so that's a great combination.
Sure.
But that was just a TV show there. They're like, let's see what happens when you put a few of them in a house.
That's crazy.
Will they try to fuck? You bet.
Is it still running?
It was like one cast for, one or two seasons.
That's something that you know gets pitched every year over here, but doesn't quite make it. It's not like nobody would like think to do it here.
Yeah.
It just like doesn't make it past that last exec that it needs to. Blowing down in the whiskey, Charlie?
It ain't the whiskey. Sal, you remember, right?
Ghost Watch is terrifying. Like,
and I wasn't drinking that.
The guy from Red Dwarf is also one of the correspondents outside. And it's got great rewatch value. The ghost in it is a guy in like Victorian garb with his eyes ripped out.
Yeah.
And they hid the ghost in it 12 times throughout the hour.
Oh.
So if you rewatch it, like they'll cut to the crowd of people outside the house. And the ghost will just be in one of the shots.
Yeah.
Right.
Or he'll be like in the background of things.
Right.
It's really scary.
That's fun. I like Easter eggs. Those are always fun.
That's the hard shit, Jeff.
Sorry, Harv. I didn't know you were in.
I love the trope of the inept cop.
I was about to say, that's also a pretty 80s thing.
Yeah, I guess you can't do that now.
The what?
The way cops are portrayed.
The
lovingly inept police officer.
Yeah. I don't know. I feel like that was only 6 months that they're like, we're taking cops off the air. And then we moved on. And then they're like, all right, we're bringing it back.
Yeah, exactly.
We never stopped filming it.
But now they're just all virulently racist in everything.
Before
they just come in with their gun drawn. Where's a black guy?
It's really don't intense. A lot of the people from Cops get it? Oh, no, that's To Catch a Predator. A lot of them get out because it's an illegal practice, the sting operation.
Oh, is it really?
Yeah, I think a lot of them, as long as you don't fuck up and, like, punch the cop or something, I think if you get a decent lawyer, they get you out for that.
But that's just about entertainment value. That's not about catching pedophiles. That's just about us enjoying seeing them uncomfortable.
There's a great... Have you seen the video Vigilante on YouTube?
No.
No.
I can't remember what town it is, but it's a real shithole town that has a prostitution problem.
Yeah.
And there's a guy that just runs around with, like, a home video camera, and he'll watch a dude pick up a hooker, follow them to park, and, like, give him a minute, and then just speed run at the car, filming the license plate, and then be like, I caught you, that's a prostitute, this is illegal, sir. And the guy every time is like, my life, no. But the hookers are so used to it, they're always just like pop up and be like, drive, sweetie.
Did you say video vigilante?
Yeah.
It's Oklahoma City.
Thank you.
What is a prostitution problem?
I think it's like, it's very like outdoors. They're just going.
It's too outdoors.
They're just out. They're not being secretive about it.
There are not enough motels. It's really a motel shortage more than anything.
More than anything.
Yeah.
I used to work for my dad at a welding shop.
Mm-hmm.
And they would bring up a bunch of guys from down south when they were busy, and they all stayed at the same, like, shithole motel.
Yeah.
That we drove by in the morning in the commute.
Yeah.
And every Monday you would see all these disheveled hookers leaving their room. I would be like, we know what you did.
This is the importance of motels and why we got to slow down Airbnb.
Yeah.
Because you go to motels, you can't go to Airbnb for your, you know, sex working needs.
No.
You got to go to a shitty motel.
Unless they're in call, then I bet a chick could make a good deal.
What's that?
So out call means they come to you.
Okay.
If it's in call, I bet a hooker could get a decent Airbnb.
I didn't know
and
that.
And have guys come.
I didn't know in call was a thing.
Yeah, hookers will get like a hotel room for like a weekend. Hmm. And then you go to them.
Oh, like office hours.
Yeah, exactly.
That's nice.
And usually there's a terrifying gentleman in like a jacket with like the red M&M on it. Outside with a gun.
There was a movie about that recently. Did you see Zola?
No, I didn't.
It was about exactly that. Did you see that?
I saw that, yeah.
Yeah, yeah. Could they like come into the room for hours on end.
Right.
So yeah, that's Terrence Mann. He just trained the bounty hunter just saw a rock star on TV and changed into him because that's the personality he's going to take over.
So what are they searching for? I kind of lost the plot.
You didn't see the critters. They're coming after the critters.
Okay.
The critters has not been introduced yet.
Okay.
What scared do you you guys as kids? A horror movie, commercial, anything you remember fucking you up?
Dude, I remember the. It's such a crazy one. It was Click, that movie with Adam Sandler.
Oh.
You remember the end?
I don't think I ever saw the movie. I think I just saw the trailer. Yeah.
Okay.
I just remember him pausing David Hasselhoff and farting in his face.
Yeah. I didn't see it as a comedy. I saw it as a horror because I was like, my life's going to flash before my eyes. And then the angel of death was Christopher Walken in that.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
And that scene terrified me for like weeks. I couldn't sleep because he's like, I'm the angel of death. And it's like dark and there's like lightning. And that movie, more than any horror movie, fucked me up for like weeks on end. I pictured my life just flashing to the end, and then the angel of death comes, and it's over.
Yes.
Question. Is that the movie where he works in the Beyond section of Bed, Bath,
Correct.
And Beyond?
It's a total comedy. It's not scary at all.
No, I mean, death is also really scary in Scrooged.
Yeah, exactly.
When he opens up his thing and he's got all the souls inside.
Yes.
So I can say it.
Terrifying.
Yeah. For me, it was Billy Madison. It was another Sandler flick. Just the idea that a kid could be, somebody could be that big in class, you know? That was all scary.
For me, it was the penguin. The fact that a penguin could just run around like that. Sorry, Charlie. That don't feel right. And the fact that they do kill a clown.
Mm-hmm. There are certain movies that I watched as a kid, and I was like, I like didn't even process how scary it was. Like, Truman Show is one that I saw as a kid, and I was like, this is funny. And then I'm watching it as an adult, and I'm like, oh, this is like really dark.
Yeah.
There's like a huge amount of darkness in it that I don't even like process, you know?
The attention to detail in that movie is wild.
Crazy, yeah.
Like, the fact that you realize his wedding ring is a camera.
Yeah. Anything that's within the show is like framed within a frame.
Yeah.
It's like super well done.
I also, there's a dumb little detail in Truman Show. When he throws off the timeline for the day, a lady runs in and she's still got her makeup bib
on.
Oh,
that's cool. That's cool.
And rips it off before she starts because she was in makeup and got called off the set early.
Damn, that's cool. There's a couple of my favorite lines in that where it's like when he's loose and Ed Harris has to like make a day sooner. And he turns to Paul Giamatti and he's like, cue the sun. That's such a cool, like, somebody with a shitload of power line.
Hold it. Boy, did you shoot your sister with that slingshot?
I think I'll stand on the Fifth Amendment.
This is not a democracy. Did you or didn't you?
D. Wallace was also in The Howling.
Yeah, I guess I did.
And a number of other great movies. Boy. She was a real go-to hot mom. The blonde mom. And
no supper.
Oh, Jay.
Helen.
Yeah, there should be an E.T. in here somewhere that will later be destroyed by the critters.
Mm. Like there's a new creature in town.
Yeah. Also, movies like this never goes well for the cat.
Yeah.
Were there any horror movies you saw as a kid that you remember being like rough?
I think I had a hard time getting through Jaws. That's when I was a kid.
Yeah. I think Jaws is scary. Yeah, I think maybe we're the last generation that would feel that way, because
for sure
it's slow.
Yeah, it is.
I don't think kids have any attention spans anymore.
And I think maybe it was because, like, also I was like in New York City. I was like not near water of any kind, so when I would, it still seemed like an other thing. Even
well,
just
the idea
be
of being out on the water is kind of scary enough,
right? Even that feels weird and scary. Yeah,
yeah. We've been doing a series of the movies that came out after Jaws, which are like the different big animal horror movies, like grizzly, piranha, alligator.
Yeah.
Also, at the table is Billy Zane from Titanic and Phantoms and Tales from the Crypt Demon Night. That's Billy Zane with hair, I believe.
Oh, right. Then, I kind of figured you'd watch me bowl tonight. We're defending the championship, you know?
Oh, maybe we'll come by later.
Also, Psycho with the shower scene.
Would okay. Like yeah. Before they leave.
Yeah.
No, thanks, Mom. Actually, the other death in Psycho is really scary when the detective falls down the stairs.
Yeah.
I don't think people talk about that enough.
Yeah, that one felt. I haven't seen it since I was a kid, but it felt like legit scary. And the other Hitchcock stuff kind of feels like a little more for like scary for babies, you know, but like still well done. Yeah.
Rosemary's Baby, you see that? That's not as scary. It's just psychologically terrifying.
I actually have not seen that one.
Oh, it's great, so shot, good.
Dude. Yeah.
It's shot incredibly. Yeah. It's
who directed it?
Polanski.
Oh, it was Polanski one, yeah.
So maybe that's why. It's not. Right. It doesn't make some list now,
right?
But there's a few shots. So like he kind of changed the way stuff is shot with that, because there's a point up until the 70s where movies are kind of shot like plays,
right?
Where everybody that's in the scene is in the shot,
yeah.
And we're having a conversation, and there's one big master shot that you cut into,
yeah.
Which is still pretty much the way movies are made. But he kind of introduced this idea of
it's romantic
perspective and voyeurism,
April,
where people walk out of frame to do things and you don't. So there's a scene, and I apologize to people that have heard this already. There's a scene in Rosemary's Baby where she's meeting with one of her older neighbors who has to go into another room and take a phone call.
Uh-huh.
And the old lady gets up. And the room is on the other side of the screen, and she sits down on the bed behind a wall so that half of her is only visible.
Right.
And they said when that movie started screening, that was so unusual that people in the theater all
really
leaned over to see where she was.
Wow. Oh, interesting. That's cool.
Because it was such a weird thing at the time to not show all of somebody in a shot.
Right.
And it gave it this, like, I'm being voyeuristic, I'm peeking into this life.
Yeah, you know who's awesome at that is who also makes cool fucked up movies is Lynn Ramsey.
Okay.
She made You Were Never Really Here with Joaquin Phoenix, and she made Ratcatcher and some other shit. She made We Need to Talk About Kevin, like really creepy fucked up movies. She's so good at like showing anything but a person's face. She'll show like the hands or their feet or something to like tell the story of how they're acting or feeling. Like, she's someone I recommend.
I want to check that out. No, thank you. I've seen the We Need to Talk About Kevin. I haven't seen the Joaquin Phoenix one.
Yeah.
Where's that slingshot?
You know how boys are, just with a picture of Bruce Springsteen and a map of America next to their bed? That's what I want to stare at.
How come you and Mom always take her side? I mean, I didn't even do nothing.
Boy, you shot her with a slingshot.
Right.
Dude, my buddy growing up was a fucking psychopath.
Anyway, I'm confiscating this
and he had a wrist rocket.
But Dad!
No movies.
Did you ever see those?
2 weeks.
No. So you mean like the...
So it's a slingshot? Like
yeah.
But it's got a brace that goes across your whole forearm.
Huh.
So it's like crazy strong.
Right.
And he shot one of our teachers in the back with a nickel.
Whoa.
And to this, it must have hurt. So, and this guy no-sold it.
You sure?
Like, oh, yeah. He just turned around mad.
He played it off.
It must have hurt. He hit him so fuck.
Yeah.
And I know it hurt because before he went up, he shot the projector screen and put a hole in it.
Well, you can't. Kids can smell weakness. So yeah. You can't give in with things like
we
that.
We fucked with that guy so hard. It was right when they started to try and teach us, like, Microsoft programs.
Yeah.
It was too late. Like, we already knew. We were ahead of the curve.
Sure.
Trying to teach us, like, Word or, like, PowerPoint and shit.
Yeah, yeah.
And we already knew it.
Right.
So we just fucked with this dude hard.
Right.
Because I remember my friend Sergio, every day would ask him to play chess.
Uh-huh.
And, like, 10 minutes into the game, Sergio would flip the board.
Oh, that's cool. Yeah.
But then the next day, they're like, hey, I'm really sorry. Can we actually try? And the guy just kept going for it.
Yeah, we made a substitute teacher crack once in a day. Like, snapped at some kid with glasses and called him Four Eyes, and we all were like, oh, we got him. Like, it was a big win to get him to crack.
That's a trope you don't see a lot anymore, is the drunk. Because now he really saw it, but nobody's going to believe him.
Mm. Yeah.
And you used to have, like, the Toxic Avenger has, like, the quote-unquote, like, rummy character who sees him and describes him to the police. They're like, whatever.
Right.
That was, like, a very old monster movie trope.
We used to never believe drunks and always believe dogs.
Yeah.
Like, when a dog would bark, we knew there would be trouble.
This was for the movie, but Terrence Mann is an excellent singer who's had bands and stuff before. I wouldn't be able to handle it. I get scared enough by normal things. If I saw anything alien, I would be, like, losing it.
Ugh.
Oh, shit, the TV. How many kids do you think died from sneaking out like that and just losing their footing?
Well, yeah, that's the other thing. I remember being a kid, and it was like a new thing that it was like a law that they had to, windows had to have these chains on them because kids were like falling out of them.
Chains on windows?
Yeah, like you could open a window, but you couldn't open them past a certain point. Wow. It was like a city thing they were trying to do. Or you got fined if you didn't have that.
Where are you from?
New York City.
Oh, you're from New York. Okay, yeah. I see.
I don't know how many people did it, but I remember they were trying to do that.
Yeah, I went to NYU, and all the windows opened about an inch and a half.
Right, exactly.
Because
well, that's
we had a history of...
We had
a world-renowned diving team. Also, beautiful the, library, and the then
library,
the entire thing.
Yeah, exactly.
The entire thing is fucking chained up.
Yeah. Right. So if you wanted to jump, you really had to work to be thin.
Yes.
You know what I mean? You had to, like, earn it.
Oh, cut the bull, boy.
Face on his
feet. Down here. Well, you look like you've done that.
So when this came out, was it considered a scary, like scary, or did people immediately make fun of it?
It was PG-13. It was definitely for kids.
Did you see
that
media?
The logo on the dad's bowling uniform is a takeoff on the Ghostbusters logo.
Yeah.
And it's got the same coloring from the Extreme Ghostbusters cartoon. So the guy that did the voice of all the critters came up with an actual language for them. And it's a combination of Japanese and French.
Mm.
So he's using syllables from both those languages in different orders to make the alien language that all the critters speak.
I bet that guy was so annoying to deal with while they were shooting.
Yeah, I was going
to
say.
Yeah, I bet he was one of those guys that the PA like comes to his room and he's like, we're like... 5 minutes away, and he starts talking to them in gibberish, and they're like, okay, whatever, man.
I would assume he's all ADR. He probably wasn't even on
That's
set.
True.
Well,
right,
you know what always gets me about designing the own language, like how Tolkien did that too, is I'm like, you could have just not done that, and it would have been the same to us.
Right, yeah.
Like, no one is so interested in this language.
But that's a very,
it's nerd shit. It's like Star Trek, too.
Yeah, and you hear that with the actors also that are like, well, I wrote 1,000 pages on who this character's great uncle was, and it's like, okay. you didn't have to do that.
Yeah, it's not on screen. I don't give a shit. And I'm all for weird methody shit.
Yeah.
But usually, like, I'm fucking with people. If I'm in a movie, I'm like trying to get genuine responses. Like,
sure.
So I did a movie where I had to ask a girl out, and she was supposed to be repulsed by me. Big stretch.
Yeah.
And in real life, the actress was vegan.
Uh huh.
So I took an Arby's roast beef sandwich. And I stuffed roast beef under my fingernails.
Oh, man. Yeah.
Before the take and didn't tell her.
That's gross.
And the entire scene, I'm trying to touch her face.
Was she pissed?
She got it. She was cool. I got that. My buddy Abraham's an excellent actor. And he had to play a thing where he was like, it was a flashback of... he played an unclehood, molested the nephew, and it was the nephew like having a flashback.
Yeah, I hope this isn't as immersive.
No. Okay. He got this cold cream that's freezing to the touch.
Yeah,
and he put it on his fingers and walked up behind the guy in the scene and just put his hand on his neck.
Right,
and the guy jumps because he feels something freezing out of nowhere.
Right,
but in the take, it looks like he's terrified of him.
There was this Iranian movie. It's like And Life Goes On. And it's like the director, he was like casting somebody to basically play a version of himself on like a road trip where he went to try to find these two kids after an earthquake to see if they were alive. And he just cast this like economist to play a version of him just because he liked his look. Because there's not a ton of lines or whatever. And then like a week before shooting, the economist was like, oh, just so you know, like I don't know how to drive. It's like a road movie. It's like exclusively him driving. And he's like, that's all right. We'll just give you lessons. And so the whole movie, he like looks terrified. And he's talking about, he's like, it actually works because he looks like he's really scared that these kids are dead. But he was just like horrified that he was going to crash every single take.
So now our critters are here. But it's important we don't see him yet because we need to hold that for later in the movie. If we see him right away, it's going to...
So this is the critter's POV.
Yes. Yeah, they're tiny little fuzzballs. I had to drive in something recently, and I don't know how to drive. And they just put me behind the wheel of like a really nice classic car.
Yeah.
And I said to them, the second I got cast, I was like, I can't drive. Just so you know. And they're like, we'll figure it out.
My friend, because I grew up in the city also, she described my driving very well. She was like, it's crazy how calm you are for how bad you are.
She was actually talking about the way you fuck.
Yeah. Yeah. That too. Yeah.
No, we did.
Across the board.
We did the classic independent film trope of keep the camera low, point it up.
Mm-hmm.
Nothing in the background of the car.
Sure.
And then you have two PAs
just
shaking the car. And then if you really want to go nuts, you have people with branches kneeling, running by. So it looks like you're passing trees.
Those are so fun. The old like Jimmy Stewart movies when you could just see the fake mountains in the background. Yeah.
Yeah, I thought they were going to put me on a trailer for a while. But no, they just shook the car.
Right.
When I was a kid, my computer room was in the back of the house next to the family deck. And there was a window up here.
Yeah.
And we had raccoons. So every once in a while, I'd be on the computer and look up. And there would just be a full raccoon face staring at me.
Yeah.
Never not scary. God. Never not terrified.
There would definitely be, I remember, There was like in my building was like a neighbor had this painting outside that had those eyes that would follow you, and that would freak me out. Yeah.
What was it like grow? Is I feel like because you grew up in the city, right?
Yeah, yeah.
Is that must just be so different of a grow of a. I mean, I was an indoor boy. I wasn't allowed out a lot.
Yeah, I don't know. It's weird just because that's what you know.
Yeah,
so
yeah,
it's
yeah.
Like so then you go other places, and I'm like, oh, you have like a house. Like
yeah, yeah. I feel like when I moved to New York, you would meet kids that grew up here, and they just seemed very grown up. Quick.
Yeah.
Maybe. Yeah. Yeah, I don't know. It's tough because, yeah, it's like you kind of, you go where your friends live and still yeah. It's like, okay, if my friends live in these three neighborhoods, those are the three neighborhoods I'm going to go to and everything else I'm kind of clueless to.
I just remember this because, like, I only grew up 15 minutes out of the city.
Yeah.
But still to this day, my family treats going to New York like they're going to fucking...
Like it's a trip, yeah.
Or not only that, but they're going to, like, a war zone. Turn your rings around.
So they still have a very, like, Scorsese 80s version of New York.
Somebody tried to rob my grandmother on the subway in the 70s.
Right.
And to this day talks about
sure,
it.
Sure, yeah. Like, of course. Yeah. Yeah. Right.
And you don't go on the subway.
Thinks you're, like, a daredevil for taking the train. Yeah, yeah. Maybe he's got another
but that's, like, that's such a my family thing. One time, now I know there has to be more to this story.
Sure.
But I had an Uncle Rich who claimed that while he was in a public bathroom, a gay guy tried to walk in on him.
Mm-hmm.
And they got in a fight. Now, I think my Uncle Rich accidentally walked into a cruising situation.
Sure.
And was ignorant to what was going on.
Either that or he just didn't lock the door.
Yeah.
A guy walks in and he's like, oh, there's probably a gay guy trying to blow me.
It could be anything.
He just didn't lock the door.
It could be any of these things.
When did this happen? This was a long time ago, right?
70s, 80s.
Yeah, everything was gay back then.
Yeah. So to this day...
if a man approached you...
That's gay.
You had gay panic. Yeah.
To this day, the first time I went on a trip without my family, my grandmother took me aside. She goes, Zachary, you go to the bathroom in the hotel... In your room only.
No way, really?
And I went, why? She goes, Zachary, you don't use public restrooms. And I went, why? She goes, let me tell you a story about your uncle. Because these public restrooms, they wait for people and they attack them.
Yeah, this is a very, 1950s PSA gay people that they're, constantly lurking in the bushes, to pounce.
My grandma told me once, she goes, Zachary, if it's raining out, you don't wear your earbuds. And I went, what? You don't listen to music when it's raining out.
Mm-hmm.
I went, why? And she takes out a newspaper article she had cut out about a kid who was listening to music while he was struck by lightning. And the lightning went through his earbuds and electrocuted him. Worse, he got burns. And I went, so you're telling me not to listen to music when it's raining on the off chance that I am struck by lightning, it will make it worse.
Yeah. Clipping that out is really fun. Like it's a coupon. I'm gonna need.
Oh no, that's every time I go to my grandma's. I got an article for you. And then if I have any information, it's moot because it's not in the newspaper.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
I remember once I said something. And my grandma goes, Zachary, where did you get that information? And I went, New York Times, online. She goes, Zachary, that's the internet.
Right.
Anyone can put that up. I went, no, it's the New York Times website.
She goes,
I'll believe it when they put it in the paper.
My grandma, she really wants, more than anything, she doesn't care about my show. She just wants me to make a show about her nursing home. So she's like, so much crazy stuff happens here. So she'll send me the articles that are in the nursing home newsletter, and none of it is interesting. None of it is remotely. It's like, we're selling muffins in the dining hall now. And I'm like, I don't really know how this is a show, but I could try. I'll pile it up, maybe. I don't know.
I have an uncle.
Thank you. Thank you so much.
I have an uncle who worked for PSE&G.
Yeah.
Who did the same every time he saw me. Zach, you got to make a show about my Zach. They're going to call it Gas Holes.
You
got to see these guys.
They always
guys.
Have the name.
You got to see these guys.
They have the name picked out and nothing else.
They worked backwards from a name, clearly. Gas Holes.
And then I'll be like, what happens there? I don't know, just a bunch of crazy stuff.
That's crazy.
But, you know, you got to – I emailed Kevin Smith, but he hasn't gotten back to me.
Yeah.
That he really – he goes, I tried to get a hold of Kevin Smith, but he must be busy.
The amount of letters my grandma sent to Stephen Sondheim.
I mean, just the amount of times some drunk guy after a show will tell me a street joke, and they go, you can use that.
Yeah, I'll use it.
I kind of love this faceless monster. And what a cool trope.
All right.
To have it be other people throughout the movie so that it can get away with doing shit like this. Right. So there's four or five Critters movies, and Terrence Mann is in all of them. He reprises this bounty hunter character throughout all
of them. Is he the only one who returns?
Him and one other person are in all of them.
Right.
They don't name these characters in the first one, but you find out in number two, they're named Ugg and Lee.
Hold on, there's more Critters movies? This was a hit?
This was a big hit. There's three sequels, and then there was a miniseries on Shudder, I think?
Wow.
The others were direct-to-video, I assume?
This one, I think, came out. The rest were probably
direct-to-video.
I don't know. Hey, ladies in the booth, can you tell me if Critters 2 and 3 came out or if they were direct-to-video?
Because that was a big... It's like, direct-to-video, there could be 1,000 of those sequels. Nobody cared.
Yeah. I can't feel that. Most disappointing direct-to-video sequel, I think, was American Psycho 2 with Mila Kunis.
Oh, I didn't even know that was
what?
A thing.
It is bad.
Really?
Yeah, she kills Patrick Bateman in it. And of course, they don't have fucking Batman.
Yeah, no.
So it's just him with it's a guy with the face, the ice mask.
Yeah, it's like sometimes, you see those like famous actors like got their start with, some like weird fucked up sequel that like didn't even know existed.
Yeah, I mean, Texas Chainsaw 3 has Renee Zellweger and Matthew McConaughey.
All right.
I mean, the first Leprechaun is Jennifer Aniston. Oh, and what is Leonardo DiCaprio's in one?
Leonardo DiCaprio is in the third one.
Leonardo DiCaprio's in Critters 3, right?
Yeah.
Thank you.
But the second one had a theatrical release, but the third one didn't.
Okay. So one and two theaters, three and four no theaters.
It's fun
three did have DiCaprio.
It's fun when they'll do a. When they would do a sequel, but without like the only person that makes it a movie, you know,
That
The Mask 2 with some guy, and it's like, I don't know why we're doing this.
Jamie Kennedy's in The Mask 2, or is Son of the Mask.
Jamie Kennedy, yeah.
I think that's like a notoriously huge bomb. I feel like The Mask answered any question. I feel like The Mask really tied up a lot of loose ends. I don't know if we needed another one.
When I saw Uncut Gems in theaters, not to spoil whatever, but obviously it ends with Sandler like dead on the floor, you know, with his blood. And people sitting behind me, they're like, is that it? And I was like, is there going to be a sequel? I'm like, what is the sequel to Uncut Gems? Like Magic School Bus into his blood?
I loved Uncut Gems.
Oh, yeah, that movie ruled.
I love that cartoon stereotype of swallowing the bomb, and it just makes you sick.
I love how they just leave the guy.
Also, in the making of, they talk about how hard that was to get the creature to expand and then fall over. Because it took like four puppeteers to work each part of it.
Damn.
And then they had to all be out of the shot for it to fall over.
Sally. Call her, please. Charlie. I want to go home.
Is this lady dressed like Lucille Ball, or am I crazy?
No, she is.
Might be at the bowling alley.
Okay, good, good. I'll get Harv. You call the arm.
Okay.
Thank you, Miss Grubner.
You know, she studied piano for 6 months to play that.
Play that one chord.
Yeah.
Chapter 19, which, as most of you know, is the story of Sodom and Gomorrah. Obviously, some of our citizens are.
So, Dan, just now I'm so curious about growing up in the city. At what point do you start did you take the subway to school?
No, I took the bus.
Okay.
I took the crosstown bus, yeah.
Starting when? How old were you doing that?
When were you a kid? A kid?
Maybe like 12.
Okay.
Oh, me too, actually.
Yeah?
Yeah.
Where'd you grow up?
Philly.
Okay, yeah.
Yeah.
We're here
about
with
that.
The price.
Were you ever afraid taking the bus?
No. No, it was like excited.
Yeah.
I remember.
Freedom.
Yeah, I remember. I might have been younger than 12. For the first time, when my parents said, "Oh, you can go places on your own," I was so excited, and I ran out and I saw. I was like, "I just want to see a movie," you know.
Yeah.
And I went and saw Joanna Man in theaters, and I was just like sitting alone, being like, "This is awesome. This is what
it's a dream.
This is what adulthood is gonna be." I see Joanna Man every day.
Dude, that was. It was so weird taking the bus when I was young. People now who didn't grow up taking the bus.
Right.
Still, I know I have friends who live in New York that are like, I'll take the subway, I'll never take the bus. They're like still afraid of it.
Oh, interesting.
Because I didn't even know that was a thing until I moved here. But people are like, there's some weird reputation about the bus.
Oh, interesting.
As opposed to like a subway. Because you can't like move cars. It's like you're stuck there.
I actually have that. I feel trapped on a bus. Yeah.
Yeah.
So I grew up in Jersey, so I would have to take the bus into the city every day for a long time.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
So I'm like, I'm done with buses.
Yeah, I mean,
I also used to have to go to Pittsburgh by bus from here every month, or like, because I was playing music and we would go on the bus everywhere.
Right.
And I'm like, I'm done with it. Once you do like a 12-hour,
Those long bus rides on like a Greyhound or a Megabus, those just make you feel bad. Because, a bus in the city, you got to get from, one place to another, Queens to Brooklyn. But when you take, a six-hour bus on the Megabus, it's dark.
I took an overnight one, Greyhound or Megabus, I don't know, 5 years ago, I want to say, maybe less. And I passed out, and so did somebody else. And we woke up to, they, moved the bus past Port Authority, to Jersey, where they, park them. So we just woke up in somewhere Jersey. No fucking idea where.
They just didn't they didn't check the bus to see if everyone got
off. Do they care? They're just like, I don't know, die here. It doesn't matter. We're not going to sir, wake up.
I have woken up where the bus is parked as well.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
They're probably just afraid of waking you up, too. They don't know who's on that bus.
I wouldn't. I'd be like, whatever, I'd get the fuck out of there, yeah.
I knew when I worked on a movie in Buffalo. And they're like, hey, we have a guy coming. He's going to be in your art department.
Uh-huh.
You got to go pick him up at the bus station. We're like, okay, cool. Where's he coming from? And they went, Albuquerque. I went, he took a bus from Albuquerque to Buffalo. I went, how long is that? They went, 5 days.
Jesus Christ.
Guess what? He was as pleasant and fun to be around as you think.
Yeah.
See, and not only that, he got on the bus. We go, come on, we'll go take you to the house. He goes, hold on. And he walked around the parking lot picking up cigarette butts and putting them in a box so that he could smoke them.
Yeah.
Oh, God.
Yeah. He didn't last long. He got drunk and peed on his face at a party.
Wait, so Zach, I don't have the background, but are you a movie guy? You know so much about movies. It sounds like you've been in movies. Are you a filmmaker?
I work for a low budget film company.
Oh, okay.
And do my own shit.
Wow. Okay. When did you start making films? Did you go to NYU film?
I went to NYU for film.
Oh, wow. Okay.
Yeah, I started making stuff when I was 16.
Well, I think it's rare to get into film after going to NYU for film, because I know a lot of kids who went to NYU for film. And
they do anything but, yeah.
They work in, like, medical offices now. Like, as scribes.
I very few of my classmates, I think, actually.
Yeah.
Some of them, like, write about film.
Sure.
Like, when I went to CAM, I saw, like, two or three of my classmates, and none of them had movies.
Right.
They were all, like, working for, like, a website or something.
Right. Yeah.
Yeah, all my friends were film in college, but I didn't study it either.
Where did you go? Did you go to NYU?
Went to Northwestern.
Northwestern?
Oh. Yeah.
I really want, for the later Critters sequels, they made Critters standees to go to video stores.
Mm-hmm.
And they would be like these big displays with a critter on top, and I really want one for my house. My buddy has one. He's like a huge Critters fan. They showed the drive-in I was talking about in my plugs. They showed Critters there, and they had a couple of the real ones for like a photo op.
Yeah, I think generally, even as a kid, I was like maybe just like less scared by any like creatures, you know.
I'm trying to think what like
than I was by like a person who's really fucked up, somebody with a knife or whatever.
Yeah,
that also might
out
be
and like
interesting.
Growing up in a city, though.
For sure. Yeah,
because I was always afraid of the ones with animals in them, like piranha.
Right, mm-hmm.
That one got me. I couldn't go into like a lake. Or a river after that, because I would always feel like there's piranhas underneath.
Right.
Yeah, no, as I got older, the movies that scare me are always home invasion movies.
Yes.
Yeah, exactly.
Anything where I'm like, oh, yeah, I'm 2 bad days away from this.
Like, yeah, you can recognize that.
Yeah.
I'm alone at night in the dark, whatever, yeah.
I went to a bar like this the night Bin Laden got killed, and it was the best.
Were you there before he got killed, like when they announced it?
No, we were walking in as Obama went on TV.
Wow, that's cool.
And we were trying to order a drink, and the bartender told me to shut up. And everyone, they turned up the TV, and I just watched all these old people stand up and salute and applaud.
Whoa.
And then...
Where were you?
I live in Bay Ridge.
Okay, it was in Bay
Ridge.
And
this was a place called the White Wolf Inn.
Nice.
And we had walked by it a few times, and it was my buddy's birthday. I'm like, what do you want to do? He's like, dude, I want to see what's going on at the White Wolf Inn. Because it was just such an old man dump.
Yeah. That was
like, I don't think... Maybe this won't be an experience for generations after us. There is no greater time to be alive than to be in a shit old man bar at closing time.
Yeah.
And for him to go, all right, guys, I'm going to lock the door, and then the ashtrays come out. Getting to smoke in a bar is still the best. And I don't smoke, but just when everyone starts smoking in an old bar, it's the best.
Were they doing that in celebration?
Oh, yeah.
Like, we really did it?
Yeah.
That's so funny. It's a very... That is a very, like... movie type reaction to it where it's like, we got the bad guy. It's done.
Well, it would be a scene in a montage of people watching the TV.
That
bar. It would be like a Korean nail salon, like all different places, like a bunch of old Cuban guys playing dominoes.
Yeah. When they're panning on Truman, when they're waiting for him to leave. Yeah.
Oh, dude, so the day they got Bin Laden, I was at a Phillies game.
Yeah.
And everyone just started chanting USA.
Right.
And we didn't know what had happened.
Right.
So we were like, what's going on? They were like, we got Bin Laden. But that is also, that would be like overwritten in a movie.
Yeah.
You're like, really? Just a whole stadium cheers USA? That doesn't seem real.
My favorite clip of that night is it was a WWE house show, and they sent John Cena out to announce it. And the happiness of that crowd, of all people, of John Cena, the embodiment of fake Marine, telling people...
Just saluting John Cena.
Yeah. Thank you for your service, John Cena.
We did it.
What can I get for you fellas? Reverend, what are you doing here? That's some outfit you got on.
We want the Krites.
Oh, really?
Oh, yeah. So they're the alien... The critters are called the Krites in the alien. That's what the aliens call them.
Mm. The Krites.
Look, mister, I don't know what you're talking about.
This has got great casting. From the drunk to, like, this fucking just local bar shithead.
Don't have a serious attitude problem. Keep your shirt on, asshole.
The whole town is at the bowling alley.
Dude, that was a lot
every
of extras single to pour
person.
Out of there. Is that a mouthwash bottle with booze in it? It's an old Pantera trick. When Pantera, there's a Pantera home video.
Yeah.
And they used to empty out NyQuils and refill them with Jaeger. And then put the plastic back on so they could take them onto planes.
Because that looks more normal. Oh, so they could take them onto planes.
That's yeah, cool. Yeah.
It better be important. What?
You guys watch Joey Chestnut fucking Merc? The protester?
No.
The hot dog contest?
No.
Is he still eating?
Oh boy.
He's still eating.
Killing it. 15
that
years?
That guy's still eating?
Dude, so.
Are you still telling jokes, Dan?
Yeah. Listen.
You don't quit what you're put on this earth to do.
So. I've worked with a couple of the guys that do the competitive eating things.
Yep.
I have my buddy Badlands Chugs things.
Badlands Booker?
Yeah.
Oh, I remember that guy.
He won the pink lemonade chugging contest.
Awesome.
How much lemonade did he chug?
A gallon in 30 seconds.
Oh, my God.
He's enormous.
Yeah.
He came here to do a show once, and he had to come through the door sideways.
I used to root for that guy when it was Kobayashi's reign. Yeah.
And Badlands is like, my boy, I've done a couple things with him.
That's cool.
Sweetest dude.
Yeah.
And then, so then they're having the hot dog contest, and some fucking protester in a Darth Vader mask comes up. I think the sign was protesting some plant that makes the hot dog. And,
sure.
Which, by the way, probably not great.
Sure.
But not the time and the place. And he jumps in front of Joey Chestnut with a sign.
Uh-huh.
Joey Chestnut, by the way, who has a fucking boot on because he's got a broken foot.
Yeah.
He's just doesn't stop eating.
Yeah, this is notably in the middle of the competition while the eating
in the
is
middle.
Happening.
No way.
He's eating, jumps in front of him, and Joey Chestnut just puts him in like a fucking sleeper hold. And it looked like he did like one of those movie like, hi-ya!
Yeah,
and like snapped, and the guy just dropped like a sack of shit.
That's
what?
So cool.
Never stopped eating.
You don't get in between Joe and a dog.
Yeah.
Did he win?
Still won by 20 hot dogs.
Oh my god.
He had 67. The guy behind him had 40 something.
Damn.
And this,
what?
In the middle of being attacked within the 10 minutes.
What's up with him? Have they studied his stomach and stuff? How is it possible? Well, he's like head and shoulders above
I remember
everyone.
With Kobayashi, I'm sure you know more about this, but I remember with Kobayashi there was a rumor that he had his small intestines removed so he could get more dogs in there.
Well, he definitely got kicked
but you
out
can't
for like fucking
that,
around.
There's no way that's...
He got kicked out of professional eating, basically.
Because of that type of stuff?
No, he was doing something weird.
Doing something weird, yeah.
A lot of them...
He was shitting while he was eating.
Yeah. Well, a lot of them literally like stretch out their organs. Like they have like routines where like you stretch out your stomach so you have room.
Wow.
Yeah.
Jesus. But that's allowed though, right? That's like part of the competition.
Yeah, I mean, yeah, you're training.
Yeah.
Training. I did. My buddy Doug, who worked with a few of those guys, he came up with a thing on a film set, which was 6 beers in 6 minutes.
Yeah. But it's got to be glass bottles.
Right.
Which is so much harder than you think it's going to be.
Sure.
So we tried to do it as bonus content on this show. Me and my buddy Doug and my buddy Blade. And we just fucking shit the bed on it.
Right.
So then we had all like the pros.
Yeah.
And we had Badlands and we had some other guys on. And the one guy, I forgot his name, I'm so sorry, but I will plug his business. He owns Taco in a Bag in Philadelphia.
Uh-huh.
He did it. He did non-alcoholic beer. I think that's completely fine. Some people thought that was cheating. I don't care. Still liquid and still carbonated the same. He did it in a minute 20.
Right.
Wow. Sick. It was
crazy.
It didn't look possible.
They should do like, because you know how if you win all the Masters in like golf or tennis, it's like, oh, you won the Grand Slam.
Yeah.
They should do that with like a range of things. It's like if you win like a competitive eating contest and a marathon, you know, like things that show an actual range of things.
Yeah, that would be
pretty
fun.
Cool. Yeah.
Or like, you just have to eat at the end of the marathon.
Right. Yeah. Because
you're
like,
probably starving.
Yeah. If you can win one golf thing, you should be able to win four. But if you can like do like a huge range of shit, that'd be pretty cool.
Yeah.
Yeah, Badlands has a few records for eating, too. I know he's got matzo balls.
Awesome. Great.
Which, by the way, sounds like a horrible thing to have to eat a lot of.
That was always fun when I've watched that, and they'll be like, they'll be like, this guy won the Pop-Tart contest. And you're like, oh, damn. So I wonder if that translates to hot dogs.
Like, you have Badlands auditioned for Man vs. Food when they replaced Adam.
Sure.
And he said that he went in and he did the audition, and they were like, listen, we can't have you. Because it's just like not an entertaining show. Because he just kept winning. And they're
just
like, dominating. Yeah, the show stinks.
Yeah. He was a ringer. Yeah.
Yeah, I chugged a Buddha Mountain Dew with him. And man, that thing's a lot bigger than you think it's going to be.
Babe, I got to get to a phone. Get some help out here.
I can do it.
Absolutely not.
Dad, you can't even walk.
This is a good way to isolate the family so that you had a narrative without them having to leave the house.
Right.
Very important low-budget filmmaking rule, Jamie.
Mm.
The more, the less location changes you have, the easier it is to get the movie done.
Keep it interiors.
Yep. How would you do? Hit the yard. Some great low-budget movies, you never leave the location. Dad, look at Clerks.
Sure.
No, because company moves are expensive. But if you're keeping everybody in one spot, you save a lot of money and a lot of time.
But you think this was all shot on a soundstage? Because it looks all set. It doesn't even look like they went to on location.
I imagine the exteriors are
A
house, and then the rest is a soundstage.
Okay. Yeah. Anyway, you might need it. Like on Flatbush and our show, like more than half of it is on soundstage. Yeah.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
I didn't know that.
Yeah, the apartment is a stage. The school is a stage.
Yes.
But then, we get the exteriors and stuff.
Yeah, that's how it was when I did 30 Rock.
Right.
I'm in the series finale of 30 Rock for half a second. It's my best credit.
Oh, yeah.
Because I saw Tina Fey say "fuck" and I had a boner for fucking 3 hours.
Who are you in it?
No, I'm at. Oddly enough, I got cast as an extra at an all black bar, so it's just all old black guys and me.
And then you?
That's don't know
hilarious.
Why. I do not know why. Wow. I don't know if they just were low on people.
That's such a fun. Where's Waldo? You know?
Yeah. Where's Whitey?
Yeah, where's Whitey?
Yeah, I'm just standing at a bar. It's the strip club from the season, the pilot.
Okay.
Tracy goes back there, and it's all old black guys and me. And I got to watch Tracy Morgan hit on strippers for 6 hours.
Awesome. Great.
And just he kept talking about Michael Jackson to them,
yeah.
But they didn't know what he was talking about.
Yeah.
When I was growing up, I was going to be just like Michael.
The one conversation I've had with him it didn't even matter that I was there. At some point, I had to, like, go somewhere else, and I think somebody else just subbed in. He was, like, talking about a documentary about Mom's Mabley he watched the night before, and I had to, like, go somewhere else, and somebody else just subbed in, and he just kept going. Yeah.
Yeah, the other person really doesn't matter in any situation I've seen him
in. It seems like a good way to live, you know?
Yeah, yeah.
It's like, you just have the stuff you're going to say, yeah. And whoever's there is there. It's fine.
I don't grow up, I'll be just like Michael. My best friend was a rat. And just like you can see this group of like 20-year-old black chicks had no idea about what the song saying. Ben or what that could possibly mean. That was also the first time I had ever seen hair and makeup use the brush for black hair. Mm. The roundy brush.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
I was like, oh, that's new. I learned a thing. Dee Wallace is also the mom in Cujo.
Mm.
She had quite the career. I love these fucking things. Are so yeah, this is, I believe, where they're going to get the ET, the ET, if they haven't done it already.
Remembering Cujo, it feels like there are fewer like dog movies today.
There it is.
Hmm.
Man, they're really milking this.
This is just fun.
What was the list? Is there a bad dog movie more recent? No, right?
Yeah, Channing Tatum. It was called Dog.
Yeah?
I didn't see it, but it was just about him about a training dog. A bad dog. Yeah.
Right.
In the book, Cujo, they kill the kid. That's one of my favorite things that Stephen King doesn't remember writing Cujo.
That's cool. That's cool.
I know I'm not glorifying substance abuse, but dude, I feel the same way about Stephen King as I do about James Hetfield from Metallica,
uh-huh.
Where I'm like, don't you just want to go up to him with like a handle of Jack and a bag of blow and be like, you got a few more in you. Come on, we'll take you right to treatment the second you're done.
Well, he did the coolest thing, Stephen King, where he wrote some of those books under a pseudonym.
Yeah, Richard Bachman.
Right, 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 right.
Just so people just thought there was another prolifically good horror author, and then he wrote a book about it, how he was both of them.
Yeah, that's cool.
Yeah, Thinner, I think, was Richard Bachman. Of the novellas were all Richard Bachman, and the long ones were Stephen King. Okay. Except there's one that's you can't get anymore. It's about a school shooter. And I believe a copy of it was found in one of the early school shooters' lockers.
Really?
And Stephen King had it taken off the market. Wow.
Those kids ruin everything.
Every time. Real jerks.
It's crazy.
Real selfish jerks, if you ask me.
School and our content. He hated The Shining, also the movie.
Yeah, because they made it a good movie.
Yeah. It's supposed to be trash.
The sci-fi remake of The Shining that's accurate to the book fucking stinks.
I'm sure. What? Yeah.
There's no... First of all, he has a croquet mallet, not a fucking axe. The only thing that makes more sense in the book is that the boiler is exploded. Like, that's a running thing, that the boiler is exploding, so that way they can destroy the hotel.
Right.
But yeah, and there wasn't a hedge maze. There's hedge animals. Like, animals
the
made out of hedges.
So cool.
That come to life.
No.
I think his main problem with the movie is that...
Nicholson, right?
Yeah, that Nicholson... From the beginning, you're like, oh, this is a crazy guy?
Yeah.
Yeah.
While in the book, it's supposed to be that he's a good guy that the hotel possesses.
Morphs. Sure.
And then he kind of comes out of it towards the end to tell Danny to save himself.
Right.
So essentially, they took a possession movie and turned it into a possession book and turned it into a crazy dad movie.
It's one of that's a weird thing back then where it was like authors just like were so resentful that their books were turned into like amazing award winning movies. And then it used to be, and now it's like the only reason anybody writes a book is so it could so get option to a movie.
Well, I'd imagine it's difficult, like, if you've made these decisions about these characters. So, like, I know in Jurassic Park, I think they killed Jeff Goldblum in the book.
Right.
But obviously they're not going to do that in the movie because they have the idea of a franchise in mind.
But sometimes it's just going to be like and apparently in the book of Forrest Gump, which I have not read, but it, like, keeps going, and Forrest Gump's kid grows up and just resents his dad because he's, like, a fucking idiot. It's just, like, he's embarrassed to know him.
Oh, my like, God.
That's a really sad end to the movie.
Yeah, they cut that out. Yeah, they show off and calling him a retard.
Yeah.
Why is my dad so dumb? Get off the bench, stupid.
He's, like, too stupid to, like, tell him all the famous stuff he was around for.
Get off the bench, you idiot. Nobody likes you. Nobody wants to talk to you.
Stop looking at a feather, you fucking moron.
So the critter coming out of the toilet could be considered, some people think it is, an homage. There's another tiny killer creatures movie called Ghoulies, where they come out of the toilet, and that was the marketing campaign, was these little monsters coming out of your toilet. And that was almost like a homage slash like fuck you to the Ghoulies franchise. And they're like, yeah, they're out of the toilet. Just shoot them. Love that shot. Wow, that was like three different falls. That stunt person had it that day, dude. They had to go through the window, through the fucking fence, and then over that thing. That sucks. Oh, my joint are back. Have you worked with any stunt people on Flatbush?
I'm trying to... you have some like stunt like background guys for certain things, but they're all pretty minor. Like, you have to have one, even if like two characters are fighting or something. Yeah. Like, they make you get one. But there's nothing that was, like, a super intense thing.
Stunt people are weird, dude. They get, like, crazy intense.
Sure.
Like, it's like a real frat boy, like, let's swallow a fish energy. Like, they get, like, fucking, well, they, like, psych each other up and shit.
Yeah. We had a, there was a props guy the first season who I loved. His name, Joel, who would, like, try out all of the props. So we had, like, a thing where, like, one of the girls, like, punishment is, like, sitting on rice. Her parents make her sit on rice. And he's like, yeah, I tried that. That really does hurt. I was like, why would you try it? He's like, I don't know. You just kind of fucking get into it, you know? Come on. Go for a ride. I love that.
Sit on it. On her butt or on her knees? I've heard that.
On her knees, yeah.
I've heard of that.
Yeah.
That hurts like hell, I think.
That's what Joel said, yeah.
Did he come up with a fake way to do it to make it not hurt?
I'm sure he did.
Yeah. I'm just curious.
What I'm sure I don't remember. That wasn't. But yeah.
Yeah, I was just watching a thing on the how they make fake ice cream and shit like that, so it doesn't melt under the lights.
Ah.
And then I was looking at some. I love props from stuff.
Yeah.
And I was looking at something. And I was like, if I could buy one, like. Something that I would love to have in the house if I had it, like, in a nice thing.
Right.
The plastic meat from Satriani's in The Sopranos.
Okay, yeah, because
they had fake meat so that it wouldn't stink under the lights.
Sure.
Dude, how cool would that to have, like, a steak from The Sopranos, like, the plastic
part
steak?
Part of history, yeah.
In a nice box with a thing?
Yeah.
I'm a huge nerd for shit like that. I apologize.
No, that's...
Or how they make, like, rubber ice so that drinks don't clink.
Mm-hmm.
Red!
We have a thing this year where my character teaches sex ed. And so he's like doing a demonstration about female condoms or whatever. And so props guy takes me all home. He's like, let me show you something. He just takes me into a room. And he's like, I just didn't want to show this around everybody. And shows me like model vaginas. And it's like just choosing one out. Yeah. Yeah. He didn't want to be brandishing them through the halls. Yeah.
That's fun.
That was very fun. Yeah.
Did you choose? Did you go, thumb through them and go, this one?
Yeah, I sort of fingered my way through them. And,
that's the best.
Yeah.
Have you ever met anyone that used a female condom?
No.
No.
That's what was so fun about it. That's what felt fun.
Hey, Nat. Female condom. Ever been around somebody that used one?
Honestly, no. I don't think so.
I've never seen one in the wild.
No, I've seen it.
I knew a girl that used dental dams.
Really?
Yeah, she was real.
Why, did she have herpes or something?
No, she was just a real fucking pruderoonie.
I did research on it. The female condoms, they're less effective. They're more expensive. They're not really sold in stores that much.
Yeah.
It's really just for equality's sake, you know?
Yeah.
After you mentioned spermicide on Bye Guys, my friend was like, oh, I've used that. And I was like, well, you're the one.
Yeah. Yeah, I had a girl that made me use it. She had like a, it looked like a fucking whippet canister, and it was like a foam that went up her cooch, and it was spermicide.
Wow.
And every time we had sex, she would have to like fucking put this whipped cream canister up her cunt.
Afterwards or before?
Because it was like a sperm killer.
Did you feel anything?
No.
There's no reaction with the sperm.
I used to swallow them. They're doing a good job of keeping a lot of this set in the dark so that it doesn't look too goofy.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
And I really don't hate the... I think these puppets are a little scary and pretty endearing. Like, they have a lot of personality considering they don't move that much.
Yeah, sometimes some of the creatures don't even seem that bad, you know?
They definitely get goofier as the movies go on.
Yeah.
Not like Gremlins level goofy. Not sure. Gremlins 2 level goofy. Which is by far one of the best sketches of all time. The Key and Peele Gremlins 2.
I didn't see that script reading.
They bring in a script doctor. It's the Gremlins 2 like pitch meeting, and they bring in one of the guys as a script doctor.
Okay,
and he goes, "Everybody gets to make their own gremlin," and it's all real gremlins from the movie.
Like, that's cool.
And it's all, but everybody's like bullshitting, so they're like electric gremlin, spider gremlin, and then he keeps going, "It's in the movie, lady gremlin," and then my favorite is somebody goes. He goes, what if we put Hulk Hogan in it? And he goes, oh, you a crazy person. Hulk Hogan is in the movie. Yeah, Key and Peele's fucking good. But the substitute teacher is one of the
amazing. Yeah. Best.
And, but even the, like, I read something. It was, like, about with the prod designer of Key and Peele. And you could really see that. Like, the level of detail they put into the sets and stuff. Like, super grounded in a way that a lot of sketch shows maybe seem a little cheap, or they just like half-ass that stuff, but it brings out like every world.
And when they're doing like a genre sketch, it really fits the genre super accurately.
Yeah.
Yeah, that fucking substitute teacher reading white names.
No, that's perfect.
I worked with him for 20 years.
That's pretty perfect.
Read white names.
Yeah.
It's so fucking funny.
That's perfect. Yeah.
Because it's flipping a stereotype on its head in such a silly way.
Mm. Yeah. And you know the game like immediately.
And
it
now
gets
you're
right
playing.
Into it. Yeah.
And I can't read the name Aaron and not go AA wrong.
Right.
Yeah.
Balake, yeah.
Principal O'Shawn Hennessy.
Oh yeah, that was a great one.
I knew somebody that taught like in a real inner city school.
Uh-huh.
And one year they had a girl named LA-A. And it was pronounced LaDasha.
Is that real? I thought that was an
no,
old...
No, I met...
I thought that was a street joke.
I've heard it as a street joke as well.
Yeah.
I met somebody that claimed that that was in their class.
Yeah, I think we would Snopes our way out of their story.
I wouldn't put it past... There's wild names out there, dude. I feel like LaDasha has to be based on something. Sorry for the sounds of construction, by the way.
I know. I thought he was knocking.
Yeah, no, I apologize. We're
no, you're good.
Expanding the studio into the space next door. And finally, another great movie trope. Have something on fire, then just turn around and flash yellow and orange lights on the people so that they don't have to be on set with the fire. By the way, now the more I think about it, I think I've been had. That person probably did just lie to me about the LaDasha thing.
Totally.
And I feel very stupid.
Totally.
So Snopes is rating it a legend because I heard that story growing up too.
All right, then I am a fool. Thank you. Thank you for calling me on my trip.
It's not you. You were lied to, you know? You are a beautiful victim in that story.
I'll take that. That should be my record.
Yeah.
Zach can be a beautiful victim.
Yeah.
How would he know that's the button?
Yeah.
Is this like the end of the Santa Claus where the kid just uses the thing because he wants to see him again for 5 seconds? Also, how are they making it? Oh, the cat's named Chewie after Chewbacca. How are they possibly making a Santa Claus TV series?
Are they?
Yes. With Tim Allen.
With Tim Allen?
And I just want to know, doesn't he have to die? Isn't that the plot of Santa Claus, that he kills Santa Claus and becomes Santa Claus?
Well, he kills the original Santa, and then he...
The most recent Santa.
Oh, I didn't see... You mean in one of the sequels or something?
No, I mean the first Santa Claus.
Yeah.
I would assume there's been Santa Clauses before him.
Oh, you mean like, one of the, Are they going to have?
I heard it's that he's retiring.
Oh.
Tim Allen?
The Santa Claus character.
Okay.
Calvin. I only know this because I watched all the Santa Clauses this year for Christmas. Because the second one, he needs to get a wife so he can stay Santa Claus.
The Mrs. Claus.
That's the Mrs. Claus.
Right.
But then what happened to that last Santa Claus's wife?
Really one of the Air Bud level puns in that.
But then what happened to the last Santa Claus's wife and kids? Did they just kick him out? Be like, hey, your dad's dead. Take a hike. There's a lot of logical flaws. And number three doesn't even have the fucking elf. All right, ladies and gentlemen.
Wow, look at that.
Look at that.
Was a solid little movie called Critters. We'll probably do the sequels at some point here on the show. I want to thank my guests, Jamie Wolf and Dan Perlman. Please check out Jamie's social media. Please support him. He's got a cool live show. And please check out Flatbush Misdemeanors. Thank you so much
for you
guys being on the show. Thank you for your time. My name is Zach Amico, and we will catch you next week here on Zach Amico's Midnight Spook Show.